Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With me today is Daniel McAdams, our co-host. Daniel, nice to see you.
How are you this morning, Dr. Paul?
Doing well.
Good.
You know, we've everybody's been talking recently about an assassination, and they're trying to figure out who did what when. But we're going to talk about assassination, but not in that particular case, even though that's in the news, and some people think it might be connected. But we want to talk about this individual that has his own company, and he gets hired out by these rich Mideastern companies, and it's an assassination squad, yeah. And there's CIA agents involved, and they make a lot of money doing this, and it was sort of a confession. It was surprising to me why he had this interview with BuzzFeed, but it was out in the open. Yeah, we do this sort of thing. But there was, you know, they throw that out and they talk about that, and at the same time, well, there's another assassination. Nobody's made a connection with that. But it's just this principle of assassination, which has been around. Even Obama did it. He had kill squads and kill lists, and he used drones, and this is being different. But our government's been involved in this sort of thing for a long time. One article listed about 8 or 10 people that we attempted assassination. We attempted to kill Castro 8 times, and every time he got stronger. Okay. So, no, it's not foreign to our operation. We've done it before, and that's not even counting the 100 or so times that we participated in coups, and we continue to do that. But, you know, with this assassination, Khashoggi, everybody is outraged. We have to deal with this. How are we going to punish him? How are we going to invoke the Magnitsky Act? And we got to deal with this. This is the most important issue ever. This is murder. And, you know, and the more gruesome it is and sounds, the more people will be emotional and say, yes, we can't do this. We can't let them get away with this. But it just turns out that that's probably not the most important thing in the world, even dealing with the Saudis and the Yemen and all these things. So we've talked about, you know, they're talking about this one assassination, but what about the hundreds of thousands of innocent people injured and in starvation, and many 10,000 or so killed in Yemen? And now we hear there's, it was why UAE hired this hit squad to go in and commit an assassination in Yemen. So it was the existence of this, and somebody was postulating, well, maybe this is a sign that warfare will be more, countries hiring hit teams and going about. But I think that's been around for a long time, and it will continue. It may change because of technology. But this is really hot news in the sense that that's what they've been talking about. But I think our goal ought to be is to put this in perspective. You know, this is important, and Khashoggi's murder is important. But what about our position that we have more responsibility and more authority over? And we've been involved with plenty. And the one assassination that I remember clearly, because I was in the Air Force at the time, and that was the assassination of Diem. And that's when the acceleration of the Vietnam War occurred. And that I never could figure, why are we doing that? He's our friend. But we've been involved. I think we're still involved. This is not our government, except they're CIA agents. And CIA sometimes, they meld into what happens in private life. I think the CIA can set up private companies. They're too secret, and that's one of the reasons that I don't think that in a true republic you would ever have an organization like the CIA, because it's secret government. And just think about, you know, Trump trying to get a hold of the CIA and the FBI. It's just too big and out of control. So this is important, very important, but I wished it would make all Americans think more closely in trying to analyze our own foreign policy, because it is our foreign policy that drives this. And guess what? You'll never believe it, but this foreign policy and this type of activity is bipartisan. You know, whether it's Obama or Trump or Clinton, whatever, they support this type of activity.
And it is a fascinating story, and I've been looking at it for a few days trying to figure out how we can work it in, because I think it's a very important story. Here are the United Arab Emirates, the government of the United Arab Emirates, gets in touch with this, with Abraham Golan, the fellow's name is. He runs a company called Spear Operations. He lives near Pittsburgh. He's an Israeli-American with a Hungarian background, living in Pittsburgh, sends out mercenaries, kill teams across the world. So he's hired by the United Arab Emirates to assassinate members of a particular political party in Yemen. The United Arab Emirates assures them these guys are all terrorists, don't worry about it. They give him a stack of cards with people's faces and info on it, saying you got to kill these guys. One of them was the leader of the party. The party is Al-Islah, which means Reform Party. It's the local branch of the Muslim Brotherhood, which is considered a rival for the leaders of the UAE. So they give him the card. They go to the headquarters of this political party. The operation was to put a bomb on the door of the party HQ and blow the whole thing up with everyone inside to get at this leader. This is what this American team, they were SEALs, they were different special forces, CIA, wet ops teams. And so it really raises a lot of questions in so many different levels.
Yes. This morning coming into the office, I was listening to Mike Pompeo, who was just home, and he was having his quick press conference as he was getting off the helicopter. And he was talking about this and talking a little bit about history and why they had to move cautiously. They're going to investigate us. We don't want to jump the gun, you know, this sort of thing. But he was pointing out that Saudi Arabia are close allies of ours, and we have to be careful. We don't want to dismiss it. He says, we've been working with the Saudis back even into the 30s, and he says they are close, important allies in our struggle against terrorism. And I thought, I wonder exactly what they're doing. Are they trying to stop terrorism? What did they do in Syria? You know, what was the position there? So, but anyway, that's their cover. They're always out trying to get bad guys. And even if there is a greater connection, I can't see how there wouldn't be a group like this that's privately run, and they're ex-CIA agents and special force people, that they're the CIA would have to know what's going on there. So even if they don't know exactly, you know, even if they did this and go into private, you never hear about that. I mean, the CIA has been known to get involved. If you get caught, I don't belong to it. And this might just well be their cover. But I think that's the kind of thing we'll never know. You'll never get to the bottom of it with a congressional hearing, because national security will prevent you from ever finding out exactly what they're doing.
And this hit team operated for quite a while in Yemen. Apparently they've killed dozens of people. They were targeting clerics and politicians. This party, Al-Islah, got 20% of the vote in elections. So this is a party that competes in the elections. They received 20+% of the vote. And then all of a sudden there was this rash of unexplained assassinations, drive-by shootings of clerics in Yemen. And they panicked, and I think over 50 clerics left Yemen, you know, in terror, essentially. I mean, that's no other word you can use to describe it. And this is all being traced back to this. So the question, I think the two questions really to think about, A, these people were trained with our tax dollars, just like, the development of weapons with our tax dollars. What does it mean when they go overseas and they commit acts which I think reasonably could be considered terroristic? How does that reflect on the U.S., even if they're acting in their capacity as private citizens? And B, we're up in arms about these claims that the Russians are meddling in our elections. Here we are assassinating whole political parties, even if it's a pseudo-private thing. There seems to be some disproportionality here.
You know, I'm just wondering whether the Saudis got a little bit worried and they had to cover their bases, because the factions or the media here, at least, is stirring up a lot of excitement about the murder of Khashoggi.
Yeah.
And as Pompeo was getting on the airplane, guess what? The Saudis just sent us $100 million. Oh, but this has nothing to do with what's going on. They're just paying their bills, you know, like the president said, you pay your bill, pay your fair shares. And they were paying their bills that they had agreed to fight terrorism. So, but it had nothing to do with the very current event.
Yeah, it is. And it's, you bring in the Saudis, and it's really interesting because the war in Yemen, first of all, it's a classic example for our position non-interventionism, because it is such a complicated struggle. The Saudis and the UAE are ostensible partners. However, they completely disagree in many aspects. First of all, here's an irony. The Saudi-backed president of Yemen, Hadi. Okay, the guy who was targeted by this hit squad, his name was Mayo. And he survived the hit, apparently, last year. And then all of a sudden in May, the Saudi-backed president of Yemen appoints this guy to a position in his government. So here the UAE is trying to kill the guy, and the Saudis, Saudi-backed guy, is bringing him into his government. So this just goes to show. And what was one of the real crimes of this fellow Mayo, this head of the of this reform party? He criticized the U.S. drone program in Yemen. That was one thing. That probably got him on the hit list. And second, he rightly pointed out, this is not fighting Al-Qaeda. This is creating more Al-Qaeda, which we've done some programs about it. It's objectively true.
Right. And you know, if you wanted to get to the bottom of this and you had authority to do it, and you wanted to go, well, I'll go to the head of the CIA and get the answer. So we should go to Gina Haspel. And she'll come clean and get it before the committee and say, tell us exactly what's going on. And we have discovered here in the last year or so with all the shenanigans over Russiagate that there's members of our administration, like Justice Department, they actually tell lies to the congressmen, no. You know. So this is the tragedy of it all. It's out of control. I think lying is justified from their viewpoint because it's for the good of the state. It's okay to lie and cheat and kill if it's good, if it's beneficial to the state. There's no concern about, you know, freedom and liberty and individualism. It is this collective thought that whatever is done is okay. How many times have we heard, well, we're doing this for national security reason? They have documents that are probably pretty benign that the Congress has every right to look at and the American people ought to have, and half of it will be scratched out. National security, yeah. National security. Everything is national security, and I think it means that they want domination and they want a foreign policy which is designed completely different than what our government was meant to be. It's supposed to be concerned about us and our will, our ability to express ourselves. And all this activity is just stirring up trouble and money and oil and all these type of activities which are serving the special interest. So there are days when I see this and the complexity of it all. It's not exactly kind of thing you like to read about and say, oh, this doesn't sound too bad. I think we can clean this mess up in a day or two, you know.
And you mentioned early on the role of the CIA, and obviously some of these people were involved with the CIA, so the idea that the CIA wasn't aware of it, I think, is a bit of a stretch. But, you know, this fellow, Abraham Golan, he said this program is modeled after the Israeli hit squads that go around, the assassination squads. They assassinated a lot of Iranian scientists. So it's modeled on how our allies do things. They're a little more ruthless than we're, at least we say that we are. But the thing is, UAE, the crown prince of the UAE, just gave him a stack of cards, and he said, well, they assured us that they were all bad guys. They were all terrorists. And the BuzzFeed article, they asked him, what makes you so sure that it wasn't just people he didn't like in UAE or in Yemen? He said, well, I don't know, but we're pretty sure that he assured us that these were bad guys.
You know, there was a quote in one of the articles that we read today, and the quote was of Pompeo before he became the Secretary of State. But he was then, I guess, still in the CIA. But his general advice about policy: we should become more vicious.
Yeah, that's right. I remember that. Yeah.
So we know where they're coming from. They're not gentle creatures, and they'll say, well, you have to meet viciousness with viciousness. You know, if they're going to do this to us, but they have no willingness to accept the notion that some of the things directed toward us has something to do with this issue of blowback after you badger them and beat up on them and all this. And the same thing's going to happen in economics. We're going to put on sanctions and make so many people angry that we're eventually going to see the retaliation in the currencies. And I think that's continually going on. There are some statistics that shows that percentage of the payments now as a reserve currency are going down for the dollar, which long term is big time business, very serious, because that means ushering in weak economies and a lot of inflation.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, the the conclusion would really be that this is the case for non-interventionism. We don't know if this party is full of bad guys, if they're full of good guys. It's in Yemen. It's the Muslim Brotherhood. It's the Reform Party, as it's translated in English. We have no idea. One thing we do know, though, is sending over Americans, even if they were private citizens, to assassinate the members of a political party. First of all, it has nothing to do with our national interests. It's not like this party is going to get in power and come invade the U.S. It has nothing to do with our national interests. It only reflects badly upon us, sucks us further into Middle Eastern conflicts and wars that do absolutely nothing for this country but bleed us dry. It is really a poster child. This operation is a poster child for non-interventionism.
Yes, and I'm concerned about it, too, because the way it's presented to us, this is all done to protect the government, protect the state, protect the nation, and that's not what the purpose of our government should be. And right now, that seems to be exactly what we're doing, more of it, and it is kept away from the people. It's very hard to know what's going on, and there's a lot of corruption there. And so it's almost like, who can tell the biggest lie, to overcome the opposition? But it is something that comes from basic policy. What is the purpose of our government? If the purpose of our government is to maintain a world empire and be the policeman of the world and maintain that empire with the reserve currency of the world and accept the philosophy that deficits don't matter and inflation is good and you need a Federal Reserve, things are doing pretty well. But the truth is, it undermines liberty. For all that activity, everything they do, there's a whittling away of our liberties. And that, of course, is something we just talked about yesterday, the whittling away of our personal liberties and our privacy, both by pseudo-private industry as well as government industries. So we have to know, what is the purpose of government? I believe that the people, for a true change in policy, the people themselves have to ask the question, what is the purpose of government? And if it's there to do what we're doing now and making excuses for it and make sure it's bipartisan and that the deep state is okay to run it, then we don't have much of a chance. But we need to at least introduce these ideas and have a generation grow up and say, you know what? Maybe the purpose of government is to protect liberty and not to be the policeman of the world or make everybody perfectly safe so they never have another worry at all. Liberty, I am convinced, is the answer to most of our problems. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today to the Liberty Report. Please come back soon.